Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We want to read verses 3 through 7. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer, and these words are found in his letter that he sent to the Christians who lived in the city of Ephesus. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In verse 3, some very good news is presented to us. I don't know about you, but I'm especially fond of good news because we hear so much bad news on a regular basis. It's refreshing to hear some good news. Well, some very good news is presented to us in verse 3. The good news is that God has blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in his Son. That's some very good news, and we need to appreciate it. Now, in the verses that follow, as a matter of fact, on down through most of this chapter, many of those spiritual blessings are revealed. Today, for a little while, we want to concentrate on one of those blessings mentioned in verse 7. That is the forgiveness of sins. Now, God blesses his people with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in his Son. We need to appreciate that. But we can't deal with all of those blessings in one lesson. So we're going to need to be more specific, and we want to concentrate for a little while on passages that will help us to appreciate the spiritual blessing called the forgiveness of sins. I think as we go through our lesson, we will reach the conclusion that forgiveness is a special spiritual blessing. That was the title that I decided to give to our lesson, but in doing so, I thought, say it slowly and distinctly, because special and spiritual just might be kind of hard to say. But I hope we will conclude from the scriptures that forgiveness is a special spiritual blessing. Whenever I think about forgiveness, I can't help but recall something that I heard Teresa's dad say in a sermon many years ago. He introduced his lesson by saying that he was going to deal with the most important subject that he could possibly deal with, and that is forgiveness. He was speaking about the forgiveness of sins. Well, we need to appreciate what the Bible has to say about this very important subject. The first step that we need to take is to point out how we need forgiveness. I believe that's where we need to start. If we don't realize our need for forgiveness, how can we possibly appreciate how special it is? Well, the Bible is very clear in showing us why we need forgiveness. For one thing, we need forgiveness because of sin. Romans 3 and verse 23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's notice also what the Apostle John had to say in 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We need forgiveness because of sin. All are guilty of sin. Now, we don't come into this world with sin on our records. We come into this world in a state of innocence. However, we eventually reach the point where we're able to make choices. And as a result of choices that we make, sin enters, and we need forgiveness. Well, we need to talk about the consequences of sin. We understand from the scriptures that we need forgiveness because of sin, but we have to understand also that sin has very serious consequences. Let's look at an Old Testament passage, Isaiah chapter 59. We want to read verses 1 and 2. You see, sin causes separation from God. The prophet made that very clear. Now, Isaiah was serving as a prophet around 700 B.C., and he was endeavoring to bring God's people back to him because they were wandering away. Notice what he had to say. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Sin causes separation from God. I believe that will help us to have a proper understanding of what's written in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The first part of this verse says, "The wages of sin is death." Death basically is separation. Now, physical death occurs when the spirit departs from the body. James helps us to understand that when he's talking about the relationship between faith and works. As the body apart from the spirit is dead, well, we understand when physical death occurs. Well, the writers of the Bible here are dealing with a different type of death, that is spiritual death or separation from God. That's the penalty for sin. You know, a lot of people today have the idea that they can live as they please without facing any consequences. Well, my mother taught me that lesson at a young age, that if I disobeyed her will, there were consequences. I'm glad that she had enough love for me to do that. I can remember at my mother's funeral service, my two brothers and I were involved, and my oldest brother made the comment that my mother believed in discipline. Well, she did. But she was teaching us that consequences are associated with actions. Do the right thing, you don't have to worry about it. Disobey, there are consequences. Well, the penalty for sin is death or separation from God. The wages. When I think about wages, I think about a payday. The payday for sin is death, according to Romans 6 and verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through his beloved Son. That's what the latter part of that verse teaches. But we have to understand why we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness because of sin, and sin has very serious consequences. Let's consider something that David wrote in Psalm 32. David was writing about himself, and he helps us to understand our need for forgiveness by describing himself before and after he was forgiven. Now, we'll be reading from two of David's Psalms in our lesson, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. He composed these Psalms after it was pointed out to him that he had sinned against God when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. The prophet Nathan had to come to him and point out his sin. David finally did acknowledge his sin, but for a time he didn't. I'm assuming that while he knew he had violated the will of God, he didn't feel remorse for what he had done. Well, God sent Nathan to talk to him. And finally, Nathan revealed to David that he was guilty of sin. And David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." He composed these two psalms after that happened. He was asking God for forgiveness. Now let's first look at Psalm 32. We'll look at the first five verses. And David described himself both before and after he was forgiven. Now let's look at verses 1 and 2. We see that a forgiven person is described as being blessed. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." David showed very clearly at the beginning of this psalm that a forgiven person is truly blessed. Then he reflected upon a time in his life when he didn't experience that. Look at verses 3 and 4. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture turned into the drought of summer." Now, does that sound like a blessed man? No. It was pointed out to David that he had sinned against God. And he finally felt some remorse for what he had done. You see, he had taken a man's wife and then had the man put to death. I'm referring to Uriah the Hittite, who was a soldier in David's army. David had him put to death after he committed adultery with his wife. David was reflecting upon the time before he acknowledged his sin. Now, he began by showing that a forgiven person is truly blessed, but then he reflected upon the time in his life when he did not enjoy that blessing. But look at verse 5. Verse 5 shows us how David received God's forgiveness. "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Notice that when David finally confessed his sin and asked God for forgiveness, God blessed him. So once again, he was that blessed man that he described in verses 1 and 2. After he had sinned, and he realized he was guilty of it, he described himself in verses 3 and 4. But then in verse 5, he showed the steps that he took to once again to be a blessed individual in the sight of God. I think David in these verses helps us to see why we need forgiveness. He illustrates the points we were making earlier about how sin is a transgression of God's will, and when we transgress his will, we're guilty of sin. There are consequences for sin. However, that's not the end of the story. David shows us that there's help and there's hope. So I think we see from the scriptures why we need forgiveness. Let's turn our attention to another point. The blood of Christ makes forgiveness possible. I thought that the song we were singing a while ago was especially appropriate. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's a grand old song. Teaches a powerful lesson. Let's notice how the shedding of the Lord's blood for our forgiveness was prophesied in the Old Testament. Once again, let's go to the book of Isaiah. This time we want to look at a few verses in chapter 53. We've already referred to Isaiah chapter 59, where we find that sin causes separation from God. Now let's notice something that Isaiah prophesied. Now this is about 700 BC. And as you compare what Isaiah wrote to what's revealed in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see Jesus hanging on the cross. Numerous prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. Let's consider a few statements, though, beginning at verse 4. Notice how it was prophesied that forgiveness, that is, the removal of sin, would involve the Lord's blood. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And let's look at verses 11 and 12. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It was prophesied by Isaiah that Jesus would shed his blood so that we could have forgiveness. Let's notice what the Lord said himself. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26 and consider what the Lord said when he was giving instructions for eating his supper. This was just before the Lord was arrested and then condemned and crucified. He gave instructions for eating his supper so that his followers would always remember the sacrifice he was about to make. He first gave instructions for eating the bread. Verse 26, this is in Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. But then notice concerning the fruit of the vine. Verse 27, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus said that he was shedding his blood for the remission of sins. The word remission means removal or forgiveness. You know, when someone is afflicted with cancer, if the word remission is used concerning treatment, that's some good news. It's a very special word. It means the cancer is removed. Well, concerning sin, remission refers to the removal or the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus indicated he was going to pay a high price so that we could have the remission of sins. He was going to shed his blood so that we could enjoy that blessing. That didn't just happen on the spur of the moment. That had been God's plan for a long time. We've already read from Isaiah. You see, God's plan had been in effect for a long time. And his plan was fulfilled when the time was right according to his time schedule. Well, when is it that we receive the remission of sins? That's a good question, and we need to be grateful that the Bible answers it for us. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. Acts chapter 2. Remember that the apostles were in Jerusalem. This was the day of Pentecost. Much of Peter's sermon is recorded for us. And he pointed out that the people in his audience were guilty of murdering the Son of God. And he didn't pull any punches. He made it very plain. But he showed that this was God's plan for the redemption of mankind. Now, this is just a few weeks after Jesus was crucified. He was crucified during the Passover meal and festival, feast, whatever term you want to refer to it. 50 days from the Passover Sabbath, Pentecost was observed, always on the first day of the week. So the short time has passed since the Lord was crucified. Some of the people there for Pentecost were present when Jesus was crucified, and no doubt some of them were among those who cried out, "Let him be crucified." And now Peter lets them know that they'd murdered the Son of God. Well, you can imagine how they felt. Verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In other words, what do we do to receive forgiveness for what we've done? Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Notice that expression. "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We receive the remission of sins when we repent and are baptized in the name of the Lord. Remember, in Matthew 16, that Jesus talked to his disciples about his identity. And as he did so, he said that he was going to give the keys of the kingdom to the apostle Peter. Who was the main spokesman on that occasion? It was Peter. And he announced those very special keys. That is the way to enter God's kingdom. You see, when we obey the gospel, not only are our sins taken away, but the Lord adds us to his church, according to Acts 2 and verse 47, and then we're able to enjoy all of those spiritual blessings that we've already read about in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's notice also what's written in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. "Buried with him," that is with the Lord, "in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," or made alive, "together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." The Bible makes it very clear when it is that we receive the remission of sins, or the removal of sins, or the forgiveness of sins, when we comply with the Lord's will. Well, it's the Lord's blood that saves us, but he gives us certain conditions that we must comply with in order to receive the blessing that he provides. Well, what about after we do what the Lord teaches us to do? There's some good news, because you know, even after we obey the gospel and we receive forgiveness, we're still human. We're still subject to temptation. And the Bible teaches that sometimes we sin. Well, there's good news. We already read a few verses from 1 John chapter 1. Let's read two other verses. 1 John 1 and verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light as God is in the light, not only do we have fellowship with him, but we receive the continual cleansing that the Lord's blood provides. Look at verse 9 also. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So the scriptures are very clear in showing that we need forgiveness, But the scriptures are also very clear in showing us that the blood of the Lord provides forgiveness, and we understand how to receive that very special blessing. Now, for a few moments, we want to show from the scriptures that the Lord's blood is so special. The forgiveness that His blood provides is so special that it should motivate us to want to serve Him to the very best of our ability. Now, there are a number of scriptures that show that to be the case. I said earlier we were going to look at two of David's Psalms. We've already looked at Psalm 32. Let's look now at Psalm 51. You see, he composed this psalm after it was pointed out to him that he was not in good standing with God. He's asking God for forgiveness. But I want you to notice what he said he would do after he received God's forgiveness. Psalm 51, let's start at verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. All right, that's David's request for forgiveness. Now we're ready to look at verse 13. Then, that is, after he has received God's forgiveness, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. There's a practical point to be made from what David said. The Lord's forgiveness is so special that it should motivate us to want to serve Him. David said, when I'm forgiven, then I'll teach sinners the way of the Lord. But let's look also at a woman that we read about in Luke chapter 7. And we're showing from the scriptures that the Lord's forgiveness is so special that it should motivate us to want to serve Him faithfully. Luke chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 36. Now we're going to read about a woman who's described as being a sinner. I don't know what sin she was guilty of because it's not revealed, but suffice it to say, people knew she was a sinner. And the Bible describes her as a sinner. But she came to the Lord, and she received a very special blessing. And I think she teaches us a very important lesson. Verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I have entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil, that is not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I'd love to study about this lady. She was in need, and she knew it. I've learned to appreciate someone who will acknowledge a need like she did. She was a sinner, no doubt about that. She knew it. But she also realized that someone could forgive her. So she came to him in the spirit of humility, poured out her heart through her actions to the Lord, and she received the special blessing. The Lord forgave her. I believe that that illustrates just how special the Lord's forgiveness is. It's so special that it should motivate us to want to serve him. That's what this lady did. She realized that the Lord was able to bless her with what she needed, and the Lord gave it to her. Well, the scriptures show very clearly that forgiveness is a special spiritual blessing. And back in Ephesians 1 in verse 3, notice that this verse begins with praise being offered to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When we understand what these spiritual blessings are and appreciate them, I believe it will lead us to want to offer praise unto God. That's what Paul was doing in this verse, pronouncing a blessing to be upon God because of what he's done. He's blessed his people with all spiritual blessings. One of those spiritual blessings is the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how the Lord deserves our praise for what he's done on our behalf. Now, Jesus offered a great invitation in Matthew chapter 11. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you'd like to respond to the Lord's invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand and sing the first verse of the psalm that's been selected. Number 8, let's stand and sing the first verse, please.